Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We have breaking news this hour. The January 6th Commission is underway in Washington, D.C. The chair is Bernie Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi.
My distinguished colleague from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney, is not the ranking member of this select committee, but because this investigation is bipartisan, it's important that we hear Republican voices as well.
Jim Banks, the Indiana Republican congressman removed from the committee by Nancy Pelosi, tells Fox News Tuesday, this is nothing but political theater.
The more you get into a line of questions that that go up a chain of command that end up on Speaker Pelosi's desk, why that set of questions isn't allowed to be a part of what's asked today and in every hearing moving forward should tell every American what they already know. This is a political stunt by Pelosi and Democrats and nothing more.
The January 6th Commission underway in Washington. USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The border crisis assigned to Vice President Kamala Harris has gone on for months without any announced plans to fix it. Tim Berg has a border update.
A new report by Senate Republicans claims the Biden administration spent $2 billion to halt construction of former President Trump's border wall. This as record apprehensions of illegal immigrants at the U.S. southern border continue, with over 1 million illegal immigrants encountered at the border this fiscal year. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy believes President Biden's move was a waste of taxpayer money.
Senate Republicans are scrambling right now to pass an infrastructure bill that's paid for. We could use this $2 billion that he is wasting. That would overlay about 1,600 miles of four-lane highways.
That audio courtesy of Fox News.
Thanks for listening. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Vaccine hesitancy across America includes about half of her citizens. The way politics has infiltrated the pandemic is leaving most unvaccinated folks with distrust and disbelief the experts have their best interest at heart. Yale epidemiology professor Dr. Harvey Risch on Fox News says Delta variant cases is already on the downtick in England and will soon be removed from the equation in America within a month or so.
I think that really the problem is they have no imagination and they don't really think about what's going on and how to solve it. They're working on a premise that if they didn't do enough in the first place, they'll just do the same, but more so now. And that's a failed idea. And really, we have the tools to fix it, and we just need to use them. For the breakthrough cases, for people who get COVID, treat them as outpatients with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, other treatments that work very well, and that solves a problem. As to Delta that's coming, Delta's going away in the UK. So this is a bump that we're facing now and is very likely to be gone in another 3 or 4 weeks in the U.S. are going down in 3 or 4 weeks. So we are really in what I would call a fairly optimistic point if we would just use our brains and solve it the way we know how to do.
It doesn't help when public officials attempt to shame the unvaccinated. California Governor Democrat Gavin Newsom insinuated Monday that unvaccinated people were a danger to everyone. Quote, "It's like drunk drivers. You don't have the right to go out and drink and drive and put everyone else at risk, including your own life at risk." End quote. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Live. The truth, no matter where it leads, thank you for joining in. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Lee Montville joins us in just a few seconds. We'll be talking about his new book from the New York Times best-selling author, Tall Men, Short Shorts, the 1969 NBA Finals, Wilt, Russ, Lakers, Celtics, and a very young sports reporter. Lee, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. The title takes up half the interview time, doesn't it?
Well, fortunately, we get a couple segments here, so we're honored to have you on for this length of time. You know, sometimes the best-selling authors say, look, I'll give you a couple of minutes, and we do the best we can with whatever time we have available. But thank you for doing this and giving us some special time that we can talk about, this era. Here it is, the 1969 NBA Finals. Framed by, a country that was still trying to get over presidential assassination. We had the space race going on. We had free love, hippies, hate Ashbury. We had the war on Vietnam, a lot of cultural clashes going on. But we could always count on sports at that time to kind of, liberate our minds and give us an opportunity to decompress for a season, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I put my lifetime into being a sports writer. You just don't have to think serious thoughts all the time,
And to me, I mean, and I hear you, and I think what great times they were then compared to now, because now politics has been imbued with, or I should say sports has been imbued with politics to such a degree that, it's kind of taken the fun out of sports a bit, don't you think?
Yeah, I just kind of try to watch the games and not listen to the noise,
Yeah. Well, we're back to the days where you turn down the sound and you just, just watch what's happening on the screen. And sometimes we're better entertained that way as opposed to hearing some of the, political garble that's going on. I mean, look what's happening with the Olympics. The Olympics, the opening ratings are probably the third lowest, I think they're saying, of all time. People are just tuning out, sadly.
Yeah, well, it's an ill-conceived thing in the middle of a pandemic, I think, to just even try and do this, without people in the stands, it's just tough, I think.
Yeah, it really is. Hopefully, we can put this in the rearview mirror sooner than later, and that a new normal that they're talking about becomes a better normal. That's my aspiration, Lee, and hope for, you know, our country and people around the world, is that, you know, I don't want to get some new adjusted normal. I want to get a new better normal. Is that okay?
Sure.
No.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
no. Hey, well, let's talk about your book. I mean, 1969, you're a young sports writer, and boy, you get the job of jobs. I mean, you are reporting on Game 7 of a historic battle of giants between Russell and Chamberlain, the Celtics versus the Lakers. Wow. What
yeah,
a deal,
I
know, huh?
I mean, I was 25 years old, and I had never been to California, never seen a palm tree. I'd never been to Florida. never seen a palm tree, the Pacific Ocean. I'd never flown on a plane on a flight long enough that they had a movie.
Yes.
You know, so I was...
And that was back in the days when you could get peanuts, too, and you probably had several bags of peanuts.
You get peanuts and you could be smoking, you know. I was a smoker. I was smoking, you know. And,
yeah.
It was a different time, but to be kind of thrust into that through some odd circumstance, and all of a sudden I'm flying back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to California, and I'm with the Celtics, who had won 10 out of the last 12 championships, and kind of moving through airports and doing the whole thing, and it was kind of like too much excitement for a young guy. As I say, because this is kind of myself looking at myself when I was 25, my 77-year-old self, yeah, looking at this young guy and I don't know, some of his mixture of overconfidence and deep-seated fear at the same time.
Yeah, well, amazing, because you're there hanging with the champs. That is a... an awe in and of itself, and being associated with this team. I mean, yes, you're reporting, you know, for the fans in Boston, and you're a fan, and here you are amongst these giants. I remember as a little kid going to a Laker game. I'd won a couple of tickets at this Catholic school that I was attending and selling the Catholic newspaper, the Tidings, and I was fortunate enough to get four tickets. So my friend, I, and our fathers go and see the Lakers, and this was the first year that Chamberlain was on the team, and I remember running up to him, and I couldn't believe, I mean, barely got to his waist, you know, asking for an autograph. And ironically enough, I of course, he was busy, and he and Chick Hearn were running down the hallway to get to an interview. And so no time for you, little kid. We're just going to step over you and just head on out because we got business to do. But ironically enough, years later, I ended up, because I was in marketing, I ended up representing and handling the marketing for the L.A. Stars, the volleyball team, which Will Chamberlain played on for a couple of years, as you might recall. I got a couple autographs then, but, you know, not when I was 10 years old.
He was a different individual. The truest statement in the whole book is like in those wrap up things about different people and characters they were involved in. And I say that no basketball player since Wilt Chamberlain has been compared to Wilt Chamberlain. Mm. You know, I mean, that there's been nobody like him. Shaquille O'Neal a little bit, but
yes,
but not really. Chamberlain was just an odd physical specimen of grace and power and everything all put together.
Yeah, 7'1", just short of 300 pounds. He was like 275 or something. He was a beast, huh?
Yeah. The genesis for this book, kind of, my 14-year-old grandson was playing this video game, NBA 2K19, and he had to pick players for his team, and you could pick players from the history of the NBA. And he said to me, he said, "Wilt Chamberlain here, was he any good?" And I said, "Was he any good?" And he picked him for the team and everything. And you kind of talk about some of that stuff now, and it's like you're talking about George Washington and his wooden teeth, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to hear, you know, the generations past Little did they know until if they get an opportunity either to read or to see some footage of these exceptional athletes. And no doubt Chamberlain was, you know, he was a man of his own, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this book, I think, is that there isn't a lot of video from that time. You can go on YouTube and you can watch the final quarter of the seventh game, but in Boston, only two of the seven games were on television. And in L.A., only three of the seven
games. Yeah, amazing. Lee, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Lee Montville, his new book, Tall Men, Short Shorts. Stay with us right here.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bukadu from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
And we're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent we are, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to have you with us, and great to have Lee Montville, a best-selling author, and his brand-new book, Tall Men, Short Stories. I mean, this was the season of seasons. 1969, California, Los Angeles thought, hey, this is it. This is our year. We've got our dream team assembled with the likes of, you know, the newly acquired Wilt Chamberlain, 7 foot one, 275 pounds of massive humanity in the paint. Recently traded to the Lakers to form the league's first dream team. We're talking Jerry West, Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor against Bill Russell, Havlicek, the determined Boston Celtics with Red Auerbach's celebrated cigars that the last thing the Lakers wanted to see was Auerbach lighting up the cigar one more time after Game 7, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There were a lot of things the Lakers didn't want to see because they'd lost to the Celtics five times in the finals. They'd never beaten the Celtics. And for Jerry West in particular, it was like this grand crusade. He was this tragic figure in Los Angeles. You know, Chick Hearn, the announcer, called him Mr. Clutch, which he was, except when it came to the Celtics. You know, he never could beat him. So this was his big chance for, I don't know, whatever it would be, retribution or whatever. And that was the whole dramatic setting for this thing.
Well, it started out that way, and then it goes to the centers between Russell and Chamberlain, right? I mean, you know, and initially Boston said, we're going to try to nullify or at least neutralize as best we can Jerry West. I mean, here he is, this outstanding shooter and everything, and they dogged him at every turn and figured somehow they're going to, you know, going to wear him out. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But when it all came down to it, it was Chamberlain and Russell, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the addition of Chamberlain, Russell had been the X factor in all those other series. You know, he was the one thing that the Lakers couldn't match. And now they had this guy who not only was supposed to match Russell, but was supposed to kind of overwhelm him. But Wilt was a curious guy in that he wasn't really coachable. He didn't like to practice. And when he did practice, he fooled around a lot. And he and the coach, Butch von Bredekopf, did not hit it off at all. Because Wilt kind of changed the way the Lakers had to play. They couldn't get out and run because Wilt was kind of slow at this time. And so they were a more set-up kind of team. And von Bredekopf got to calling him the load. He would call him the load to everybody, like he slowed everything down. So the celebrated dream team had some bad dreams in the middle of it.
Exactly.
You know, and the Celtics were supposed to be falling apart, which they did. They only finished fourth in the Eastern Conference, and were only in the playoffs by dint of the fact that the NBA put more teams in the playoffs to make money. But they kind of got it together, and they beat both the Sixers and the New York Knicks to get to the final against the Lakers. And that was kind of the whole setting.
Yeah, a lot to say about legacy and tradition, and when you've been there before, how experience can carry the day, and it definitely did for the 1969 Boston Celtics. I mean, but who would have thought? I mean, going into that series, you thought, wow, the Lakers should just be able to sweep this with, you know, the powerhouse. They had a great season, and this was the culmination. I mean, it was all but for the parade and the celebration until Game 7.
Yeah, they went and they won the first two games in L.A., which was the first time they'd ever done that, won the first two games. And they really wanted to win one of the two that went back to Boston. And they lost the third. And then the fourth was one of those thrilling games at the end where Sam Jones threw up an unbalanced shot as he was slipping and the ball bounced high off the rim and came back down through the basket, and the Celtics won by a point. And that made it best 2 out of 3. So the Lakers won again in Los Angeles. The Celtics won again in won again in Boston, and that brought it to the seventh game in
Los Angeles.
Yeah. And the Lakers were so sure that they were going to win the whole thing, especially their owner, Jack Kent Cook, the millionaire. He had a press release printed up saying that when the game ended, he was going to have thousands of balloons up on the ceiling. They were going to drop the balloons. And the U.S. University of Southern California band was there. They were going to come high-stepping onto the floor and playing Happy Days Are Here Again. And there was a big victory cake that had been made, and there were five cases of champagne in the Lakers' locker room. So all that was there for the celebration, except the Celtics had something to say about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And what a game. I mean, for fans, Lee, and for you, you know, to, you know, back and forth, as you say here, you'd never been on a plane before. Now you're getting used to the peanuts and the flights and all this back and forth. And, you know, just to be there as an eyewitness, you know, to this dramatic series. What was that like for you as a reporter?
Well, it was good and bad because the Forum was like a forerunner of the modern arenas, like at Boston Garden. My seat was like right at the floor, right at the edge of the floor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the Forum, they put the press way up at the top. So, yeah, I was seeing all these dramatics, you know, carried out by little stick figures that were about an inch high in my field of vision. So yeah.
So the short shorts were really short by the time you were up there, right?
It was hard to see if they even had shorts.
Oh, gosh.
But it was quite a game, you know, as we look back and dissect it. You know, the Celtics were ahead by 17 points, and the Lakers started to come back, and then Wilt Chamberlain came out with he injured his knee, and he asked out, and the Lakers continued to come back, and Wilt saw this, and he told the coach, Butch Von Bredekov, I'm ready to go back in, and Butch said, you just keep sitting where you're sitting, we're doing fine.
Right.
And it was probably the gutsiest coaching decision in the history of mankind, because if they went ahead and won, the Lakers, he would have been a genius, Von Bredekov. And if they lost, which is what happened, he would be fired by Thursday, which also is what happened, because he kept the most expensive player in the game. The reason they were supposed to win the whole thing, he kept him on the bench.
Wow. Well, that's when you're in that position and you're making, but that goes back to what you were saying earlier in terms of the chemistry and the frustration that Van Bredekov had felt all season in trying to deal with this rebel player.
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly he said, I'm taking control of the ship here, you know, and he had Mel Counts, who was a 7-footer, who could shoot a bit from the outside and could run better than Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And so he put his faith in Mel Counts, and Counts missed a couple of big shots down the way, and Don Nelson of the Celtics hit a shot like Sam Jones, where it hit the back of the rim and went up in the air, and I say it's gone further up in the air every year. It's up to about 7 miles now, and then it comes back through the hoop, and the Celtics won. And Red Auerbach lit up his cigar, and a woman somehow pulled out a thing of shaving cream from her pocketbook and sprayed it all over Red Auerbach while he was lighting up the cigar.
Well, that really says it all. Like I said, that was the last thing that Los Angeles fans wanted to see was Auerbach's celebratory cigar. And she sprays it with shaving cream. Boy, some great stories here, Lee. And thank you for recounting them and taking us down memory lane. Get your hands on this book for all basketball players and those that have played the game and enjoyed the sport. This is good fun, especially now in this COVID era that we have to tolerate. Tall Man, Short Shorts, Lee Montville, best-selling author right here on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Lee. Take care.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We have breaking news this hour. The January 6th Commission is underway in Washington, D.C. The chair is Bernie Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi.
My distinguished colleague from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney, is not the ranking member of this select committee, but because this investigation is bipartisan, it's important that we hear Republican voices as well.
Jim Banks, the Indiana Republican congressman removed from the committee by Nancy Pelosi, tells Fox News Tuesday, this is nothing but political theater.
The more you get into a line of questions that that go up a chain of command that end up on Speaker Pelosi's desk, why that set of questions isn't allowed to be a part of what's asked today and in every hearing moving forward should tell every American what they already know. This is a political stunt by Pelosi and Democrats and nothing more.
The January 6th Commission underway in Washington. USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How you doing? You hanging in there, huh? Good for you. In the midst of all the insanity, right? But you're okay. You're not losing it. I can appreciate that. Sometimes you wonder, you go, what? What am I not understanding here? I mean, this just seems to be a whole new world. And yeah, you're right. Look, there are things to do, and we got to continue on with the good fight. And don't let go of the truth. The truth is still attainable. And forget about this relative truth stuff. Okay, this is what. Was the start of all the unhingement that has happened across this country of ours. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, good to have you with us. Albert Norton joins us now. His latest book, Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendental Transcendental Thought, Truth, I should say. He's an attorney and award-winning author. Albert, I don't know why I messed up on it this time, because the last time we talked, I thought I got it right, the name of your book.
Well, how about this? Transcendent Truth.
Yes.
I'm trying to say that God is the author of truth and our ideas of how we would form truth. So not transcendental, transcendent.
Okay. And was there a typo on this thing? Is that what's driving me nuts? Is it
Probably so. And if I missed it, I'm sorry. When I got the notice to be ready for your call, but it's transcendent truth. That's right.
It is transcendent truth. Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because I'm sitting there going, I'm tripping over this thing, and thank you for clarifying that, because I don't want to. I mean, after all, we're talking truth, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, this is what has happened. I mean, I just came, you know, from a weekend of there was a lot of combination of faith
and you know, government and issues of politics going on. And I got to tell you, Albert, I mean, I went through this transcendency experience last year because this radio show has been, you know, based on truth, on biblical worldview, and admittedly, we got caught up in some of the cultural fervor of the body politic. And after it was over, I'm going, what am I doing here? I had to recenter myself back on the key and core principles of what this radio show is all about, and that is in pursuit of the truth, which anchors you, of course, truth comes from God only, all right? And this, you and I accept that, so and we hold to that vehemently. And we see the result of people that disengage from the truth. They're like that hot air balloon that's been punctured that is going pell-mell in all kinds of different directions. And that's where we see our society today, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And I applaud you for taking that move, making that move to look, let's not get so bogged down in the events of the day that we forget what it's really all about. I think it's valuable to sort of move up a level of abstraction in our thinking. You mentioned just a minute ago about that we got to be careful about the relativism of truth and, mm-hmm. and the degree to which that drives our thinking about the issues which concern us day to day. And that's exactly right. That's postmodernism. That's a concern we should have, and we should be able to extrapolate from the issues of the day into the nature of truth, which is my chief concern, the thing I wrote about.
Right. Exactly. And Albert, the situation here is, people like us, we're counter the culture, and Jesus was counter the culture. So what do we expect? So we're going to get attacked, and of course the order of the day is it's very aggressive, the counterculture is, and if you don't go along to get along, well then you're out of the parade, and they're going to kick you out, they're going to debase you and everything else. But look, it, we've got to hold to our values, because there are more people like us than like them. I mean, like, and when I say like them, I'm talking about these radicals who've gone out there and decided they're going to define their own truth without God. Well, good luck. And, you know, that parade, though, right now there may be some energy with it. They may have some sort of a megaphone, which is backed up by the legacy media and big tech and all that. Just because that is the case does not mean it to be so.
Yeah, and maybe I can help a little with the concern that people have that, gee, things that you always took as being objectively true and clear are now no longer are. Look at these strange issues from radicals. What's happening here? The thing that's happening here is postmodernism. I've been just obsessed with postmodernism and what is it really? What's the through line on postmodernism? And the conclusion that I came to, I mean, there's lots of to read individual philosophers, for example, and draw a lot of conclusions. But the through line to me is about truth, and whether it's relative, whether or not it's objective. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think we can trace the history of thought to understand how we got to where we are today. And if we start looking at the issues of day through this paradigm of how truth is formed in the minds of people, I think that would be very revealing to us. And we can start to understand, oh, okay, this is why it's true. It's true.
Right.
That truth is being held as relative by people who advance certain kinds of ideologies that just seem twisted, and we have a hard time making sense of it as much as we'd like to listen and hear and understand.
Yeah, along that same line, Albert, my thinking was, which I had to come to, was that is truth most important or not? I mean, are the standards of life, is that the most important thing we can hold to? And I determined in my experience that, yes, that when I was making decisions and choices consistent with that truth, and then it went well for me. When I violated those principles, not too bueno. And so experience was a great teacher, and I listened, sometimes the hard way. Sometimes, like I tell our audience, you know, we get so knuckleheaded that we think the law of gravity doesn't exist and we got to challenge it. And so we get up on the roof and fall off and go, oh, ouch, that hurt. That, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
A difficult way to learn about objective truth. That's right.
Yeah. But
yeah, so. So truth drives values, and values are what we base all of our decision-making and our evaluation of the world and our place in it. So, of course, it's fundamental. We have to have some understanding about how truth is formed. For thousands of years, it's been, well, what's true? What I know something is true because that is the way the world is, what most corresponds to the way the world is. That's what makes something true. And in the last 100-plus years, especially, but, I mean, it's a gradual thing, that basic idea is being overthrown in favor of the pragmatism that is built into the postmodernist ideas that we're exposed to. And it's a big shift.
It's kind of amazing that, really, we find ourselves back to square one. We're back in the garden where the question is, did God really say?
Right. Yes.
I mean, it's amusing when you think about it. I mean, here's all these forward-thinking progressives that think all this. It's like, no, you're not all that brilliant. I mean, that's the same question that was asked at the beginning of time. You know, did God really say? And so then you make up your own story and your own truth. It all becomes relative. And how's that working out for you and your family?
Right. And that's a great word, story, because story is a narrative. And if we want to take what's going on around us and start trying to pick it apart somehow based on how we understand postmodern philosophy that's ubiquitous now, you can start with that very thing. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. The idea of objectivity of truth. We start with that very thing. So narrative, story. Narratives are perfectly appropriate. I mean, it's how we take facts about the world. We add to it our reason to connect to those facts together, inferences we draw from those reasons. So we all do this all the time. So we walk around, for example, with a story, a narrative in our minds about, let's say, the history of the United States. And that's appropriate. There's nothing wrong with it per se. But when you start witnessing story being kind of twisted around where we can make up our own story and we can draw selectively from the facts around us in order to make up that story, that should cause us to say, wait a minute, this doesn't ring true. And then when you see that there's some dishonesty to it, but it's just the selective application of facts in order to create a narrative, and that becomes true. This is the key. That becomes the truth. And so if you doubt that narrative, you're the liar.
Yeah.
You're the guy that needs to be shouted down.
Exactly. Well, this is the danger of ideology, and this is why ideologues want us to cancel our First Amendment right, to where you cannot sit down and reason together. Well, you know, in doing that, as Jordan Peterson says, we render ourselves stupid. So here we are in this era of so-called intellectuality, and we're shooting ourselves in the head.
Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure. And right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the finance law number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. and we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com. When you speak,
you know, God still speaks, you know. I guess the question is, are we listening, huh? Albert Norton continues with us. His latest book, Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendent Truth. Thank God I've got that squared away once and for all. You have no idea. The attorney and award-winning author is with us. And, Albert, let's talk about critical race theory. A lot is out there, but sadly, people still are misunderstanding what's going on. And it's no wonder, because there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo coming out of the legacy media. We can say whatever we want. You know, you can say, well, it's fake news and whatever. But still, big numbers of citizens watch the evening news. They're, you know, in touch with legacy media. That's where they get their news. The big tech oligarchs are controlling the message out there. Our children are, you know, consuming the media and consuming news through these handheld controlled devices. And so they're being, you know, speaking of narrative, they're being indoctrinated with a narrative that is not necessarily legitimate here. So help our audience understand what critical race theory, and I've been saying it's a theory for goodness sakes, and that theory is now being thrust upon over 4,000 schools and being taught like as if it's doctrine.
Right, and narrative is a good place to start with that, because as a theory, it is put out there and then it's told and retold and retold. In order to again have that be the basis for formation of truth rather than looking at the facts on the ground, so to speak, to come to conclusions and ideals too, like equality, not equity, but equality, in order to say, okay, what really drives us as a nation to try to be as one people? Is it equality or is it something else? Is it some Marxist version of setting people groups off against each other? And,
well, it's important. Let me stop you for just a second. All right, let's hit that term, equity versus equality, because people need to understand what it means, you know, in the Marxist mind and what they're really trying to get us to buy into.
Right. Well, so the reason people call it critical race theory Marxist is because it's setting people groups off against each other, and that's the essence of what Marx did. Of course, in his day, it was, you know, the industrial laborers versus the bourgeoisie, and it attempts to set each of those two groups off against each other in order to bring about some economic change. Marx, of course, was a materialist, so he thought the only kind of change that's relevant has nothing to do with spiritual, but it has to do only with economic well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a little different climate now, but a lot of people say that, well, critical race theory is a form of applied postmodernism, and I think that's accurate because, it is a means of truth formation, that is, through narrative that we're talking about. And so instead of thinking in terms of, okay, I'm an American, I have individual rights, an expectation that I'm going to be treated equally with all the other people, that's the ideal. Hasn't always been realized, obviously. Obviously, there's a history there. But that's the ideal. So now we're changing.
Because we are striving for a more perfect union, right? I mean, that's our goal, all right? Okay, go ahead.
Sure. So now I'm not an American with equal rights with everybody else. I'm a white American, or I'm a black American.
Mm-hmm.
And you're instructed to think of those things first. So you mentioned the ubiquity of this message of critical race theory. It's subtly put out there and all these different news media and so on. That's true. But I think there's beginning to be some pushback, because I think what people are realizing is, hey, wait a minute. There's different messaging here.
Mm-hmm.
The messaging is different for white people versus black people. Isn't that problematic? So the messaging to white people is, you know, you have this original sin stain of whiteness, and the only way for you to expiate this sin is to really to engage in the left-wing prescriptions for how we're supposed to engage really on really all social issues. But and people are kind of aware of that, and it may feel you know, offensive. But people are less aware, I think, of the message that goes to black people, or at least they don't think of it in the same terms, because the message to black people is, you're a victim.
Yeah.
So we have this racist versus victim paradigm, oppressor versus oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're telling people constantly that they're a victim, what are you telling them? You're telling them that they can't make it on their own, or at least they've got huge obstacles to overcome that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that.
It's amazing. Let me interrupt you for just a second. It's amazing, just real quick, that they're saying this when the victims in recent history have been doing fairly well. We've got more millionaires that are people of color than we've ever had. Opportunities abound. And this narrative that they're trying to push somehow, if it's not at reparations or it's something that, you've worked hard as an attorney all your life, you've achieved a certain level of success and notoriety, but because you're determined to be white, you move over and release your position and all your hard work to somebody that they declare as being less than.
Sure, there's lots of success stories of black people based on purely on their merit, and we should say that's great. This is what this country's about. That's a great thing. But there's also a lot of social measures which statistically you can point to and say, well, black people are not doing quite as well as white people in these various arenas, you know, intact families, literacy or crime or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the facts on the ground. So why is that? Well, this is where narrative comes in, story comes in. We're going to explain it a certain kind of way. And the narrative that we're asked to accept is, oh, anytime there's any kind of disparity in any of these kinds of measures, it is purely and only the result of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, racism does have pernicious ongoing effects, no question about it. But is that the sole explanation for that? Or could it be that some of the social prescriptions that we're constantly directed towards from the left are the wrong ones and are actually counterproductive for the goal we all want, which is to have equal opportunity and to in the best way that we can, regardless of what our race is.
Right. Well, then you start breaking it down, because if you say, okay, let's be responsible here. Let's take a look at this. You look at fatherlessness. You look at teens, teen pregnancy that's running rampant in communities of color. All these things that, the sociologists, the smart people who look at these numbers and trend lines and everything say that doesn't put you in a good position. I mean, if you want equity and you want equality, or at least you want, we're saying we're equal, well then, then you've got to treat these opportunities in such a way to where they give your family members a leg up. And if you go and you break the law and you take dad out of the process here, and he's spending more time in jail than with his family, and then, of course, that's another discussion, because some people say, well, yeah, but they shouldn't have been there. Well, maybe not, and that's the next discussion, but let's agree, first of all, that if dads are in jail and they're not at home participating in raising the children, that's no bueno. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, these are real problems that we really have to deal with, and not just Black people, white people, Hispanics, but everybody. I mean, those facts of crime and families that aren't intact and all those things, they afflict people of all races.
Yes.
They happen to afflict statistically Black people more. Instead of just throwing up the hand and say, racism every time, how about we look at it more carefully and do something about it? And see what the real causes are, and not just ascribe it to racism every time. It gets back to the equity versus equality. We stand for equality. If you're going to say equity, what you're implying is we somehow need to bring all of the performance gaps, let's call it. You have to bring those into alignment by race. Instead of by merit. And the fact is, people are just not the same. And some people are going to take off running and, run the 100-yard dash in 8 seconds, and other people, like me, are going to kind of galump along, and it's going to take them a while. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's but if you don't want to accept that, and again, this victimhood mentality strains that reasonable consideration, right?
Sure. It's self-defeating.
Yes.
And that's kind of the biggest beef. If you got a beef against critical race theory, I think I'd start there. How is that helping anybody?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that, and it's not like critical race theory hasn't been introduced before, has it? Has it not?
Well, sure, but in fact, my view of it is, I mentioned Marx, I mentioned the worldview of people groups set off each against the other. That's how I would say it's been tried before. Maybe not so much critical race theory, but critical theory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So as soon as you say critical theory, you're saying, all right, well, there's something about the system. Could be anything. Good legal theory was a big thing for a long time, going back to the 70s. It could be family structures, and hence the sexual revolution. All of these are different critiques. Well,
yes.
A critique of what? A critique of the capitalist, bourgeois, all of the words that Marxists would subscribe to, the kind of society that isn't broken down by people group warring against each other. And so these are critiques to try to change all that, bring about revolution and transgression in various ways, and to be in a state of turmoil. That's the goal. I mean, it's unambiguously Marxist, so that's what we should think about and understand the bigger picture of where this is taking us if we buy into it.
And somehow embracing chaos is going to bring some sense of stability and logic, right? How can that happen? That's why, like Tim Scott says, you can't beat racism with racism. Albert Norton, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.